Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, so because man cannot live on electronic dance music alone, in my car, I have been playing these TED Talks, right? And there was one, frustratingly, I don't remember the name of it, of course. I don't remember anything anymore. But it was about the nature of love, falling in love, staying in love. And essentially, this woman did a study, right? There was a study, and it has 36 questions. Uh-huh. And the suggestion was that if you read 36 questions, if you ask and answer 36 questions with another person and then stare into their eyes uninterrupted for four minutes, you can fall in love with this person. And the questions are things like, when was the last time you cried in front of somebody? If you could wake up tomorrow and have one thing about you be different, what would it be? Like these kind of real personal questions. And so she had heard about the study, and she heard that a couple had fallen in love off the study and gotten married, right? And so she
was... Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are these strangers?
Yes.
From the start?
Yes, okay. Strangers.
Okay.
Strangers. And so... So she's like, oh, come on, right? This is ridiculous. She does it with somebody who's like pretty much a stranger to her, like a casual acquaintance. Well, they fell in love. They've been together like 6 months. She writes an article about it. It ends up, I think, it's like Huffington Post or The New York or something. Her blog gets like 8 million views. She gets calls from the Today Show and Good Morning America. And basically they're like, that's great. That's so cool. Are you still together? Mm-hmm. It's the number one question. And for her, it's like falling in love is the easy part. Staying in love is really the hard part. We should study what's required to stay in love. Mm-hmm. And the argument about why people were falling in love is it was about like feeling known, feeling validated, feeling heard, and self-disclosure. So you feel like someone's inquiring about you and they're listening to you talk, and it spawns these feelings of love, right? Which makes sense to me. Although if there was zero attraction, you know, you'd wonder about it. But anyway. Then I'm watching The Affair. Do you watch this show?
No.
Oh my god, I think you'd like it. Spoiler alert for anybody who watches.
Which one's The Affair?
It's with, his name's Dominic something. It's on Showtime.
Okay. I'm gonna get into it.
This guy has 4 kids and he ends up having an affair with a waitress destroys his marriage, the whole thing. And there's a plot about a murder and all this stuff. So I'm watching The Affair, and this guy's an author. He's doing a book reading, and one of the people, his audience members at the book reading, ask him, like, do you believe in love? And he sort of equates love to religion. He's like, it's faith-based, which is, to a certain extent, why when someone cheats, you say he's been unfaithful. He's like, think about that. The character is saying this, but I'm thinking about it. I'm like, this is very interesting to me. Unfaithful. And he's like, the faith is like, if you love someone and you trust them that much, you kind of lean into them and they kind of lean into you. And now you're like this triangle, like these two pillars that are supporting each other and holding each other up. But if one day one of those pillars is gone, you're sort of free falling through space, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how, you know, it's trust and it's faith and it's kind of agreeing to stay in this structure and this union and support each other. And I realized, and then this woman in the TED Talk kind of goes on and she talks about making that decision every day to kind of be in that commitment, right? And to push through it. Because falling in love is kind of the easy part. You know, you don't really know that person yet. Everyone's on their best behavior. It's kind of historically charged. But being in love and dealing with each other through thick and through thin, through richer, through poor, through sickness, through health, through other historical issues, bankruptcies, sickness, all that crap, being with somebody through that stuff, changing as a person and trying to stay together. Like, now that Heidi and I have been together almost pretty much 7 years now, it is a decision to wake up every morning and go, okay, the grass is not greener. Mm-hmm. It's greener where you water it, right? Which is the argument that you're going to have the best reward or reap the most out of the area you put the most energy in, unless you're in something that's fundamentally dysfunctional, in which case that's not love to begin with, right? That's some sort of history of abuse that you're playing out.
Yeah.
But, you know, a friend of ours is at this pivotal place with his wife. And he's like, you know, the grass isn't greener. I don't want to be in the same place 10 years from now. And is it a choice to kind of get up and go, all right, things aren't great right now. It's not the most romantic right now. We are disagreeing right now, but are we going to gut it out and fight through this and find a solution and do the harder work? Or do you run for what seems to be greener pastures, which end up being just as brown? This author in the show, ironically, is already cheating on the woman that he had the affair with.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, that's priceless. Like, there is this story about murder, but honestly, you don't even need that story. It's so... I get that they put it in there because they're like, how do we keep this going? But in truth, it's just riveting enough to watch these people. Like, this man is the same guy that he was with his wife. He's the exact same now with his new fiance, who was his mistress. Because he's not in therapy looking at what happened or why.
Mm-mm.
He didn't try to fix the marriage. He had an affair and he was like, I've been in this marriage forever. And I think that is sort of the nature of a midlife crisis, right? You get to this point where it's like, all right, we fell in love, we had a couple kids, and now I'm 40 or whatever, and I only have a few years of my youth left, etc. And, you know, he's eating.
I'm just watching Diego. Sorry, keep going.
No. I don't know. Well, now I can't concentrate because of what Jake just did.
I was putting it away.
Real nice, Jake. I completely lost my... Who are we talking about?
You have only a
conflict
few years,
in the Middle East? I don't
few
even
few years
remember.
Of your youth left. You just had some kids. You're married.
Right. This is your future, by the way, so pay attention. So, I mean, I think that's... It just made me think about that. Like, when you kind of... When you're at that place with your significant other where, you know, it gets a little hard, or you have the 7-year itch or whatever it might be, or someone is tempting to you, you know, what do you do? It's easier, I think, of a question to answer for women versus men. But
yeah,
for me, I think I'm just at a place where I'm sort of like, you fight with everything you've got, because if you don't fight here, you're going to have to fight with the next person. because I'm still going to be the same person who's broken in all the same ways, who's going to create all the same issues. Mm-hmm. So I should try to work them out with the person I love, the person I'm with, who's a good person. And if you know that person's a good person, I think you fight for it. It's not like, oh, shiny keys. What's over there? Because I don't think that goes anywhere.
No.
Nicole?
You know, I agree to an extent. Like, I think you have to take into consideration both of your guys' wants and where you are going in your life. Depending on age. Like, for me, I'm in my mid-20s. If I can't see the person that I'm with, like, if I can see him altering his life path to be with me because we're just not coinciding at all, there's a chance it's not going to work.
Right, that's true. That's true.
But, like, if I fought for years to be with that person, knowing that we could potentially end up at the same spot, knowing that this isn't going to screw with either of us, making us hate each other, then if I'd already fought to stay there, I would fight to, keep it.
You shouldn't compromise. Like, if you're with somebody who decides they don't want kids and you want kids, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work because that's a totally different path. And that's where it's like, okay, you know, I don't want to resent you. We want fundamentally different things. But if it's more about you're in a relationship for a while, you fall in your routine. And if somebody comes along, I just see so many people think the grass is greener. And we did that great segment with Dan Savage. Do you remember that? And it mm-hmm. was about how, you know, we're like, I don't want to play with you anymore. It's like the toy a child doesn't want to play with. I'm not interested. I don't really care. I take you for granted. Well, of course, that person is going to, you know, someone looks at them sideways and they're like, oh, you know, this person's interested in me. They make me feel good about myself. I think you got to get up every day, too, and not take that person for granted. But I think that part of that fight is working through your stuff. Your inability to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. your defense mechanisms, your historical relationships with your parents. And I think, you know, that's going to come up again. I guess that's what I'm saying. That's part of staying in love is going, wow, I'm having this major transference on you. You're reminding me of when my mom did this or my dad did that. And I realize I put you in this role and we're playing out this pattern. And here's how I'm contributing. Let me take responsibility for it. Because somebody might come along and you can start over, but you're just going to end up there again. I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's what I mean. Not like, oh, we're you know, you want kids and I don't. Let's fight for this. Or, you know, you're the abusive father and I'm a doormat. Let me stay here. It's more like if you have a good person, you know, but life is sort of taken over and all these complications of your history, et cetera, are playing out. Can you fight through your own stuff to make your own grass greener? Can you do the work? Staying in love is not easy, but if you're with a good person, it's worth it. Do the work. Bombas athletic leisure socks. Hello. Re-engineered to look better, feel better, and perform better. What could sound better? Am I right? Bombas.com/Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N, and you can get 20% off any size order for first-time customers. I mean, guys, doesn't get better than this. Plus, Bombas has donated more than 300,000 pairs of socks to those in need. There's a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like them, refund all the way, 100%, if you return them. Hello? How do they keep you happy? Well, they've got seamless toes. They got rid of those bumpy seams that are on most socks. I like to wear mine when I go on a jog. Yeah, Nicole stole them though. They're on her feet right now. Jerk. So go to bombas.com/Jillian. Get yourself a pair. Check them out. That's bombas.com/Jillian. Bombas.com/Jillian. So the other day, I'm looking at somebody posted something on like Instagram or something, and it was like, people in France drink more wine and eat more cheese, and they live longer than us. People in the Mediterranean consume more bread and more oil, and they live longer than us. People in Japan eat more fish and more, you know, whatever. And they like went basically through all those trendy diets, right? Eat the Mediterranean diet, eat like a French person, eat like a whatever. And they kind of went through all the diets, and all these diets were dramatically different. Dramatically different.
Uh-huh.
And yet, everybody lives longer than Americans. And the joke was, I think I know what's killing us, speaking English. And I was like, okay, haha, funny. But when you stop to think about, you know, all right, well, wait a second. It's obviously not the actual food, right? It's not, oh, I do more bread or more wine or it's the cheese or whatever. Stop for a second and let's think about what's really different between us and, let's say, the Japanese, us and, let's say, the French, who have two... Oh, my God, their diets could be more different. You're not going to find cheese in Japan. And the French are not consuming, you know, rice and raw fish. Mm-mm. Two completely different diets, both significantly healthier than the American diet, apparently. And, you know, this, again, it comes back to what's really the issue. And here... I mean, what do you think is indicative of a traditional American diet? Go, Autumn.
Fried.
Interesting. Jake?
Grilled burgers, meats.
Really? Grilled?
I think of hamburgers, hot dogs, steaks.
Hamburgers,
like
hot dogs.
Like barbecued, not necessarily grilled.
That's okay. Well, yeah, barbecued.
Hamburgers,
yeah.
Hot dogs, and steaks. So a lot of meat. Meat heavy.
Meat
and like oversized portions.
And like really buttered greens and stuff.
Okay. Calories, overeating, fried food. And Nicole?
I think like meatloafs and like creamed chickens on toast. Like a lot of creamy based and like loafy.
Processed.
Yes.
That's it.
Processed.
There you go. So think about what we got. We got overeating,
mm-hmm.
processed, and just saturation of calories. Everything's fatty, mm-hmm. and overly saucy and overly, you know, buttered and fried and just like a bear supersized. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's the answer. Yeah. All three of those things. So, you know, in France.
That can't be it.
Mama, that's it.
I refuse to believe it.
That's it.
That can't be it.
It's the English.
Gotta be.
I'm telling you, that's it.
Yeah.
Because think about when you go, like, the French might eat fattening food. They're going to have a cheese plate, but they're not going to eat a block of cheese.
You know, can I just, it's
don't
funny.
Eat the whole block of cheese.
If I can just interrupt you a little bit.
Please.
1 second. So it's funny that you said that because I was reading the emails from the podcast email. You know, we had put the call out for questions.
Yeah.
And there was a woman who had emailed us, a French dietitian.
Ooh.
And it was, her question, I laughed a little bit because she's not wrong. And she was like, Jillian, you know, can you tell me why are the portions, the U.S. portions, so large?
Yeah.
When they are, so, you know, significantly smaller here in France. Do you think that's what's contributing to the obesity epidemic?
Of course.
And I'm just reading and I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Like, we know this. We're talking about it. But what it must look like from the outside. Like, what is wrong with you people?
Yeah, we're insane. We're the bigger is better. You know, like, we went to, it's a farm-to-table spot in Malibu called Alo, right? And the kids, oh my God, you realize everywhere we go, I have to do half portions? Everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
And for Lou and Phoenix, because, you know... I can definitely see, and I don't want to talk too much about my kid, but I can definitely see that for her own reasons, whatever reasons, she definitely has some emotional issues with food,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. She's an incredibly fit kid because she's outside all the time. She's not overweight, but I can tell. I know it. I see it. I know it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she like hovers over her food. She inhales the food. It's gone before, you know, you even have a chance to blink. And she doesn't ever realize that I have to literally be like, baby, let's pause. Let's take a second. You
mm-hmm.
know, let's pause.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll eat. And at first I didn't really know how to handle it. And it's like, she'll eat and laugh and like throw up. She's so full. And that's when Heidi and I were like, okay. Yeah. It happened twice at bedtime. And I made her laugh and she threw up and I was like, oh my God. All right. Okay. And so we just don't put that much food in front of her, you know, cause I don't want to be like, don't eat that. So instead, I'm like, let's just put a certain amount of food in front of her and let her eat it all
right.
and not say anything. But we go to this one restaurant, and I mean, you order of pancakes, and it is three gigantic pancakes. Three of them, gigantic pancakes, with like a third cup of this strawberry butter and a side of syrup. And I'm like, you know, we split them because, again, and even that, I'm like, Jesus, she eats one and a half, he eats one and a half. And I just was like, in France, this would be like two small to medium sized pancakes with a dollop of butter on the side. A dollop of butter. Yes, they eat butter. They're not eating a vat of butter or three huge pancakes. And so, yeah, that's a huge part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have that supersized mentality the way that we do. And, you know, then on top of it, their stuff is like real butter. Not butter flavor, fake butter.
Okay? Yeah.
Real food. Like, here, everything is fake flavor, fake color, fake fat, fake sugar. You will never see a French person put a thing of Splenda in their coffee. You'll never see it. Never. Mm-mm. And I watch people do it now, and I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, they go, I don't want the sugar. I'm like, a cube of sugar is 14 calories. 14. 14 calories. Do jumping jacks for 1 minute. And you're good to go. You're good. You burned your 14 calories. Take the stairs twice today. You're good on those 14 calories. Like, why are you doing that? And here's what's even scarier is that they will have adapted to. I like the taste of it. I'm like, wow. And I remember the first time I ever tasted. My mom used to drink Tab back in the 80s.
Oh my god, my mom did too.
And I used to drink regular Coke. The first time I drank Tab, I was like, this tastes like fly spray.
Yeah.
But
it's so chemically.
It is disgusting. Not that regular Coke isn't disgusting, but just the taste of that fake sugar. I was like, this is gross. And over the years, I adapted to it. I mean, I was chowing Splenda and all that crap.
My mom used to use Sweet and Low.
Oh, God, the devil.
Uh-huh. And that pink, the pink Sweet
and
Low.
Pink, blue, and yellow. Pink, blue, and yellow, man. Ugh. But it's like, you don't see that. You don't see it in Japan.
No.
They don't put that in their green tea. They don't do it. And so then I saw this other article the other day, and it was like, what people who live to 100 eat, right? I think they pull it from the Blue Zones, or I guess there's a new diet called the Blue Zone Solution, right? Okinawa. So these are the Blue Zones, and these are areas of the world where people live to be 100. Okay. Japan is a Blue Zone, known for its sunny weather, blah, blah, blah. Eat something from the land and something from the sea every day. Seriously? You're writing a diet book about it?
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's so easy.
Sardinia. Eat a diet rich in calcium and protein. Oh, you think Americans aren't eating all that meat? We are. And all the dairy? Sure we are. But it's processed. It's got hormones. It's got antibiotics. It's got pink slime, fake filler, all kinds of disgusting crap. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. And then it's follow a Mediterranean diet. Okay. People in Greece enjoy a plant-based Mediterranean-style diet, which has long been touted for its heart health. And they go on to talk about, like, beans, potatoes, goat cheese, lentils, honey. And these guys eat a small amount of fish and very little meat.
I like that.
I mean,
diet.
Yeah.
For me personally,
I agree with you. It's a personal thing. I agree with you. Nicoya. I haven't even heard of this one. Buettner cites the three sisters, squash, beans, and corn of the Mesoamerican culture from the Nicoyan Peninsula of Costa Rica. I mean, they're all over the map. So the point is, I'm telling you, the point is not what to eat. The point is what not to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. The point is what not to eat. And it's just, it's not, they drink red wine in France. That's the key. No. It's what not to do to your system. So, I mean, I know we hammered this into the ground, but I just thought this might sort of dispel some myths a little bit if you're running around trying to eat like people in different parts of the world. You know, it's not that they're eating meat or that they're eating fish. It's the quality of the food they're eating, the amount of the food they're eating, and the way that they're preparing it. All right, guys, Veridesk time. I don't know how many times I need to tell you how beneficial this setup is. Essentially, it's an adjustable stand-up desk. Great for your posture. Burns 1.5 times the calories of sitting. It's great for your overall health. They've got 11 different height adjustments for people of all different heights. It's already retrofitted to fit any existing desk you may currently have, whether it's dual monitor, laptops, cubicles, you name it. The model started at $175. All you got to do is go to Varidesk.com, and it's Varidesk.com for more information. That's Varidesk.com.
Oh, Love Doctor.
Yes.
We have a caller today, Rachel, who is in need of your advice.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited. Okay, yeah, let's do it.
So, Rachel, tell us how the Love Doctor can help you today.
Oh my goodness, this is just so cool. You just don't even understand how cool this is. But okay, so this is my question.
Okay.
I'm in a predicament. I've been in a 5-year relationship with my boyfriend who lives in Sydney, Australia. I'm in Louisiana.
Okay.
I almost moved in Louisiana and
you
Texas.
Are really far
and
apart.
So I'm kind of having extreme anxiety about going over there. I love this guy. And he's so awesome for me, but it's just a big move. And I don't know if it's just me or if you have any advice on the matter or any of that. So if you could offer any advice or help me with something about it, I would greatly appreciate it.
Well, I mean, let's look at this for a second. Honestly, what is your gut telling you? What do you want to do?
Okay, well, my problem is some days, my heart is literally torn. Some days I feel like he is the only person for me, and I really want to try. I mean, Sydney is such like a healthy and fun atmosphere to be in, but all my family's here. I'm very close to my mom, and I kind of feel my mom wants me to go and be happy wherever I am, but I can sense that she is also a little bit anxious about me going because I'm her best friend. I'm her mom. We both like use each other as coping mechanisms. We go run with each other. I've always lived at home. That's another thing. I've never lived out of my house. I'm about to be 21, but I travel all the time. And you know, Luke and I like the same things. We've done this relationship. We've really gotten to know each other's hearts.
Wait, hold on. So, you're about to be 21 and you've been dating this guy for 5 years. When did you meet? When you were 16?
Yes.
How?
I met when I was 16 on a cruise ship.
And you guys have been dating for 5 years. How?
We've just been going back and forth to see each other. And
okay, so you have been seeing each other and spending time together, correct?
Yes. We spend about 4 months out of the year together.
Okay. All right. So
this time.
Okay. You know, here's what I hate to say this. I mean, I'm just going to, you're 21, so this is going to make me take a different approach than I might take with somebody else. But at 21, I think you need to go.
Just go and try it. See how
I think
I
you
like
need
it.
To go. I don't even, I mean, at 21, it's not like you're uprooting yourself from a career. You know, you're 21 and you live in Louisiana. You need to go. You need to go and you need to go. Go.
But
and not even for him. I don't even want you to go for him. I want you to go for you. Okay. So you get to experience life in a different part of the world. I mean, I think, you know, who knows if you're a kid, you know, I don't know if you're going to end up with this guy. You know, chances are probably not because you're young. But, you know, should you? Fantastic. If you don't, who cares? Fantastic. But I think, you know, you get to a point where, you know, home's always there. Your mom's always there. And, you know, you don't want to be 50. Going, I never got out of my town. I never did anything ever.
Right.
I just think you can go home with your tail between your legs. That's fine, too. But so what? You know, Autumn and I were just discussing in another segment. It's like you very rarely regret the things. You'll regret the things you didn't do more than the ones you did that went wrong. And I can tell you at 41, that's the truth. Holy cow.
Yeah, I am young, and I do know I have time to, like, figure myself out. But I feel like a lot of pressure, I guess, for my family and his family to make a decision. That way, like, if I feel nervous about it, like, just break up now because then you will save broken hearts later. But, I mean, I hate to make a decision that I'm not 100% sure on, you know? And, I mean,
Is never 100% sure. There is no 100%. And I think, again, we just did a segment on that about how everything is black and white and life is gray. There is no 100%. Yeah. There are no guarantees. There isn't only one person in the world for you. There's 7 billion people in the world. I'm sure there's many. And that's where, you know, that becomes a different conversation of like, well, I fell in love with this person and is the grass greener with that person? And, you know, should I stay here and make my grass greener by watering it and tending to it, which is a different conversation entirely. But there is no, you know, at 21, if you think that the world is 100% one way or another, it's not. And it's this is where you got to say, you know, I'm 21, and you don't go for him. You got to go for you. And I think you got to go for the adventure, and you got to go for the experience. And, you know, you do not want to get to a place in your life where you resent your mom because you never lived your life, and you will.
Yeah.
Or where you regret the fact that you never got out of that little town, and you will.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I haven't been to where you're from in Louisiana. I hear Baton Rouge is awesome, and I love New Orleans. But the reality is Sydney, Australia is pretty great. I love it. It's one of my favorite places.
Too.
It's beautiful. I think, you know, go and live there for a bit and go to the Whitsundays and go to New Zealand and go to Southeast Asia and backpack with him while you're there and just, you know, go be a kid and have a life and make mistakes. You know, now's a great time to make them. It's kind of like I look at my kids, right, at 3 and 5, and I watch them fall off stairs and flip off the back of a sofa and wipe out on their bike, and they just, they get a scraped knee. You know, and they cry and they bang my whatever. If that happened to me, Autumn and I were saying, like, we need to go see the orthopedic surgeon because she just fell on an escalator. She's like, my knee's killing me. And I was like, oh my God, I tripped with Phoenix and I fell right on my knee and I think I chipped a bone. I need to go to the doctor. It's like the older you get, the harder those mistakes are on your life and the greater the consequences. Whereas at 21 years old, like, I don't even know what we're fighting. We shouldn't even be. Go.
Okay.
Go.
I think I need permission to do that. And I was listening to the podcast y'all did right before with Autumn getting engaged. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to make up my mind. And I'm never going to, I was like literally crying in my car because you were engaged and I wanted to be, but I guess I am so young and I do.
You're not allowed to get engaged. No.
Yeah, I'm 30, almost 36 years old, by the way.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to get engaged. That's not where you're going. To be clear,
no,
we're not getting engaged. No,
okay,
no. I put my foot down. No.
So I'm allowed to be a kid and listen to my heart and go and have fun.
Please. Last reference I'm going to give you. I was watching, I was telling the girls that Jake that I was watching a show called The Affair on Showtime. And this woman's upset because her daughter doesn't want to go to college and she wants to go model in New York. And he's like, let her get accepted to school. Let her defer. Let her, you know, sow her oats, make her mistakes, and it'll always be there. And she's like, no, we can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, remember when you gave blood twice a week in our senior year of college because you wanted to go live with the Bush people in Tanzania? And she's like, yeah, but I never did. And he's like, and why didn't you? And she's like, my parents wouldn't let me.
And
you could tell that she regretted it.
I don't want that to happen. And I know my mom doesn't want that to happen, but I think she's trying to protect me, too. She's going through the NC Next thing because my brother is about to move away from college, and I think she just, poor thing. But I do know that she doesn't want me to resent her either, you know?
And you will. So go.
Yeah. Okay.
Go. If you tell her I said, if you love something, set it free. Go.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jillian. I just adore you. I was little after I'm walking in my little neighborhood where I typically listen to your podcast because this is just surreal for me. And then I'm going to go do your DVD after.
Oh, thank you, buddy. And we expect a memoir, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Keep us posted.
The sequel.
Okay. I want to start a blog, so maybe you can look at it.
Email it to us and we'll post it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You are the best. Love you.
All right, honey. Have fun.
Good luck, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
All she had to say was 21, and I was like, eh.
Go.
Bye-bye.
I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was 21 with a Australian boyfriend.
Dude, at 21, I was working my ass off. Everybody glorifies the 20s. When I look back at mine, I was working my ass off, man.
Yeah, I didn't do anything fun.
Working my ass off. The 30s were good. I liked my 30s. And the 40s, I have so far, I have so much responsibility, I'm drowning in it. I'm hoping to get to 50 and like be like, all right, I'm good. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I just took on, you know, 30s were awesome. I had enough money and not a ton holding me down. 40, I've packed a lot on my plate. 40's a lot.
50 is right around the corner.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.